Thank you for joining us here at Life Church. It's an honor to share God's word with you today. Our prayer is that you will connect with Jesus Christ as you hear his word online. We'd love to have you visit one of our upcoming gatherings. For more information, visit us online at www.liferva.org or contact our church offices and we'll be happy to help you in any way that we can. Let's go now to one of our recent services where you can experience a life-giving message from God's word.
Well, as you know, Independence Day, we've celebrated 4th of July this week. It's a celebration of freedom for our country. I hope you were able to spend some time with family and friends, but also to be thankful for the freedoms that we enjoy in this land and how grateful we should be not only to live in America, but to live in this generation. Yes. So I'll tell you right now, things are a whole lot different in 2024 than they were in 1960. Or 1970 or 1980. So I'm thankful that we live in a land where we are afforded some freedoms and some benefits of prosperity. Aren't you thankful for what you have in this country? Amen? Well, listen, I'm not going to talk about political freedom or geographical freedom today. I want to talk to you about being set free personally and spiritually. And specifically, I want to talk to you on this subject, being free from the past. Being free from the past. Now, we all know that our past is full of wonderful memories, but also we've got some painful ones, right? The longer you've walked on this earth, the more your Rolodex is full, I'm sure. Great experiences, but also trying experiences. High water moments, but also moments that have maybe scarred you or wounded you in ways that you thought were never possible. I want to talk to you today about how to get beyond some of those painful moments from the past. I don't need to coach you how to get beyond the good moments because we all relish those, right? Nobody wants to get past their happy moments. We rely on those and they help us along the way. But how do you move past painful failures or scars that were inflicted on you by other people? Because truthfully, all of us at one time or another, we've done some things that we wish we hadn't done, or we've been in situations that we wish had never taken place. Can all the honest Christians say amen? Because you know it's the truth. Some of us have even had just some bad days, right? It really wasn't that big of a deal, but you know you probably could have handled things a little better. For example, let me just ask, has anybody ever experienced road rage? Amen? Okay. Now, here's another question. Has anybody ever experienced road rage in the grocery store? Those of you who are laughing know exactly what I'm talking about, right? You know, when somebody gets their cart out in the middle of the aisle, and I don't know why, but they decide to turn it sideways, and then they get right down by the pinto beans, and they got their hand, they're just looking, and they got the whole thing blocked. And you just can't get past. Now, I can neither confirm nor deny, but I know some of you have taken your cart and just hit that cart and said, oh, excuse me, on the way out. Or how about this, another grocery store. The people who are in the 12 items or less line, and they got like 20 items in their cart. And then there's the other ones, like two people with 30 items, and then they split them in half and pay for one and then pay for the other. Now, I got to be honest. There's a part of me, I celebrate that life hack. I honor them for their ingenuity, amen? But I just don't want to be stuck behind them in that moment. You know what I'm learning about myself? The Lord keeps putting me in those situations. I think because I haven't learned whatever lesson it is he's trying to teach me. Now, see, those are the simple days where you have a not-so-great day. But there's also some times when things happen that sabotage us and want to hold us back. All of us, I think, if we're really honest, there's things that we've done or situations we've been in, and it's really difficult to get past our past. It's difficult to get past some of the things that have happened. We know in our minds maybe that God has forgiven us, but we've had a difficult time forgiving ourselves. Or I don't know what it would be for you, but There's lots of things that hold us back. Not road rage in the grocery store, but I'm talking about real things that make an indelible mark on our lives. For example, some of you in this room or maybe watching online right now, you're carrying around a real heaviness because of your sexual past. You did some things in the past that might have seemed fun or wild at the moment, but now it's baggage, it's weight. And it might even be affecting your marriage if you're married, or maybe your purity if you're single. You're fighting that battle from the past. For some of you, you may need freedom from a recurring or a reoccurring sin in your life. See, there's something that you do, and then you pray for forgiveness, and you say, God, I'm never going to do that again. And a week goes by, or 2 weeks, or a couple of months go by, and then you fall into it again, and you just feel like you're carrying this big, heavy weight. And you say, I just feel like I can't shake this sin that continues to come at me. Or some of you, maybe you said something really hurtful that you regret. And you said it, and now you can't unsay it, and it's hurt a relationship with another person. That's some baggage that you're carrying from the past. Some of you, you've made some bad financial decisions in the past, and either now they're starting to catch up with you, or you already have been living in with the consequences, and you feel weighed down from that result. I'm just talking to the real people in the house right now. Amen. Maybe you made some different bad decisions and you never got caught, but now you're living in the constant fear. Somebody finding out and you regret it, and you hate it, but you don't know what to do. And you're just waiting for that shoe to drop. Maybe you were unfaithful in your marriage. And here you are years later, your spouse has forgiven you. Maybe your kids have forgiven you. God's forgiven you, but you just can't forgive yourself. See, I'm talking about people who get held hostage by their past. Some of you are divorced and you think, well, if I would have just tried harder, maybe I'd still be married. Or maybe your kids are a little bit messed up and you think, if I would have just been a better parent, maybe they would not have turned out that way. So you might feel a lot like David in the Bible. And by the way, don't forget, this was David in the Bible who said this. David said in Psalm 38, verse 4, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. Now, maybe you're not living in that, but has anybody in this room ever just experienced that, even if it was just for a little while? Raise your hand. See, look around you. You're in good company right now. If I would have just tried a little harder, if I would have just prayed, you know, a little bit more, if I would have just worked a little more at it, and yet here I am in this place. I want to be a mentor, but I feel unworthy. I want to have a good marriage, but after all I've done, how could I ever have a good marriage? What's happening in my life? Their past is just continuing to follow them and torment them and haunt them. I want you to hear me clearly this morning. Every saint of God that you know and every great person that God has ever used, every one of them has a past. They have a past. But we also have hope for a better future. Amen? And that's what I want to talk about today. See, because the Bible reminds us that none of us are perfect. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You know those Christians that always act like they're better than everybody else? They're just fooling themselves, the Bible says. Right? We all have sinned in our past. Not only does it remind us of how we've all have sinned, but you know the Bible is pretty full of mighty men and women of God that God used in a powerful way that had a not so great past that the Lord helped them to overcome. So today, instead of living in the past, the rest of your life being held hostage by dumb mistakes in the past or stupid decisions you've made or things that have happened to you that you had no control over, on this July 4 weekend, I want you to find freedom. Come on, from your past. Oh, I want you to find freedom from your past. I want to share with you three things that I think will help you get freedom if you'll apply them to your life. And if you'll let the Lord touch you. Are you ready? Here's the first one. Your biggest sins are still smaller than God's grace. Woo! Come on, somebody ought to thank God right now. Hallelujah. I don't care what you've done. Your biggest sins are not, and they never will be, too big for the grace of God in your life. Hallelujah. No matter what it is, no matter what you've done, hear me, or no matter what was done to you, God's grace is bigger than that. Thank God. God's grace is bigger. So we need to stop living consumed by guilt. Now, don't get me wrong, and some people don't agree with me on this, but guilt is not a bad thing. Can somebody who agrees with me say amen? What do I mean? See, guilt is not a bad thing. Guilt leads to conviction, and conviction can lead to repentance and real change. But hear me, getting stuck in your guilt is not the answer. Amen. David said he was what? Overwhelmed by his guilt. That's not a healthy place to be. When that happens to you, it turns into condemnation, and that is a destructive lie from the enemy. The devil wants you to get stuck in your own guilt quicksand. He does. He wants you to get stuck in the mire of bad choices or bad decisions and guilt and make you think that you can never get out of it. Amen. You start thinking and you start saying things like, well, I'm never going to conquer this. Or I'm never going to get over this failure. And then here's the part where he gets you. So why even try? I'm never going to get these painful memories out of my past. I'm never going to live beyond this. But if you keep thinking that way, then that's where you're going to get stuck in that guilt quicksand. But when you're healthy guilt, everybody say healthy guilt. The Bible talks about godly sorrow that leads to repentance. When it leads you to conviction and repentance, hear me, the Holy Spirit can use it for good and it can motivate you toward change. Here's what I want to help you understand. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is not your enemy. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is your best friend. When the Holy Spirit comes and begins whispering in your ear, you've got to stop saying, shh. We've been shushing the Holy Ghost too long in our lives. But hear me, before genuine life change can happen, we need to do what the next verse said, 1 John 1 and verse 9. Here it is. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad that didn't say from some unrighteousness? Aren't you glad that didn't say from your neighbor's unrighteousness? It said, He is faithful if we what? Confess our sins. God is faithful. You know what faithful means? He will always do it. Come on, He'll always do it. He is faithful and just to do what? To forgive us our sins and to, what's the scripture say? Purify us from all. Everybody say all. Come on, that means everything you've ever done, thought about doing, or had done to you. God cleanses us from all that unrighteousness. That has got to be one of the greatest verses in all the Bible. That is real freedom, my friends. Amen. I told you when I was growing up, we didn't have air conditioning, but we did have these. Does anybody remember this? What's it called? No, actually, this is a West Virginia iPad. I see my people over there. I see y'all. My dad's from West Virginia. I can say that. Amen. But you know what? This was one of my favorite toys growing up. How many of y'all loved the old Etch-a-Sketch? You know what was great about it? You would just start envisioning something in your mind, and you would just start drawing, right? You would just start making whatever it is. You could draw circles. You could build buildings. You could make cars. You could write letters. And if you were an Etch-a-Sketch master, you could just do all kinds of stuff. But you know what my favorite feature of the Etch-a-Sketch is? If I don't like what I did, I just give it a good old shake and I start all over again. Come on, somebody. Did you know what the Bible said, those verses we just read? Said if we are faithful and just to confess our sins, He will forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Did you know that when the Lord steps into your situation And he takes all your mess ups. And when you sincerely repent, when you sincerely confess, when you sincerely take a step to move forward, he wipes it all away. He just gives it a shake of his grace and his mercy. Come on, somebody. In life, so many times, we'll be doing great. We'll be drawing the picture. We'll be making the story. Everything's going according to plan. But something comes along and it happens. And this is exactly when God comes into our life and he says, I will wash you and cleanse you and help you forget. See, every time you confess, hear me, every time you repent with godly sorrow, the Bible says it's a clean slate again. Come on, you don't have to go get rebaptized. You don't have to run and confess to a priest. Come on, you don't have to do any of that. The Bible says we have an advocate with our Father, amen? You can repent and ask God to forgive you, and guess what he does? He just says, get up and go again. My grace and my mercy are new every morning. So here's what I got to ask you right now. What's on your etch-a-sketch? Anger? Bitterness? Hatred? Well, you can keep it on there, or you can say, Lord, I need you to wash me and help me and cleanse my mind and take away these thoughts. Help me to put on the mind of Christ. Come on, what's on your etch-a-sketch? Depression? Anxiety? Lust? Whatever it is, you just take it to the Lord and you say, God, help me. Help me. What's on your etch-a-sketch? Recurring addictions? Guess what? Go to your weekly meeting and go to your prayer closet, because God will help you to do what he needs to help you do in your life. Folks, see, the devil has too many Christians caught living in their past. I'm not talking about your past victories. I'm talking about your past defeats. And we're not living the free life that the Scripture says we're called to live. But the Bible tells us that he that the Son has set free is what? Free. Come on, free indeed. Free indeed. Stop beating yourself up. Stop feeling stuck in failure or in the condemnation mode, because the Scripture tells us that God does not only forgive us. I want you to see something else it says. Jeremiah 31, 34. I will forgive their wickedness, and, everybody say, and, I will never again remember their sins. Hallelujah. Now, if I do something this week to offend James Caston, there's a good chance, because I know James is a good man, he will forgive me. But I also know that James is a human being, and it's probably impossible to forget. You know, all of us, we're just how we're wired. But you can forgive somebody, but it's hard to forget. You know what I love about this passage? The Bible says that God takes forgiveness to another level. He says, not only will I forgive you, I will never again remember your sins. You know what some of us are doing? We are beating ourselves up over something that God doesn't even remember. Lord, I'm such a failure. A failure for what? A failure because of what I did 5 years ago. He goes, what are you talking about exactly? See, because I distinctly remember forgetting that. See, I'm telling you, I want you to get this. I want you to, some of you, I know this doesn't apply to everybody, but somebody needs to hear this today. You keep replaying the video over in your mind. You keep rehearsing and re-rehearsing what happened to you when you were a kid or a teenager, and it haunts you and it plagues you, and maybe you didn't even bring it on yourself. Maybe it was something, maybe you were the victim, and the Lord just wants you to know, first of all, if you were guilty, he forgives you. He's forgotten it, but he can help you heal and recover from your past. He does not want you to live that way forever. It's not the will of God. It's not the will of God. Pastor, what do? Get counseling if you need to. Go to church. Pray. Let the Holy Spirit help you, comfort you. And also understand that this might be one of those three steps forward and two steps back journey. But never give up and never settle. Everybody say never settle. Never settle for less than God's best in your life. It's time for some of us to receive healing from our past. Receive healing from those scars. Amen. Remember, your biggest sin is still smaller than God's grace, number one. Here's number two. You are who God says you are. You are not what you have done. Woo! Man, that just fires me up. I'm going to say it again. Come on. You are who God says you are. You are not what you have done. What you did does not define you. Your identity isn't in that. Amen. The devil's made a great con job over us. Come on, somebody. The devil has passed this off to us because what he has done is he has caused us to personalize our sins. What am I talking about? I committed adultery. Therefore, I am an adulterer. Come on. I stole, so that means I must be a
stealer.
I lied, so I must be a come on. I struggle with lust, so I must be a pervert. I take drugs, so I must be an addict. I struggle with drinking, so I must be an alcoholic. Do you see the lie? Come on, do you see the lie? Amen. I cheated on my wife, so I must be a cheater. Come on. I was abused, so therefore I must be an abuser. Satan tries to get us to personalize our sin. He tries to get us in a mindset that says when the things that we've done become who we see ourselves to be, or the things that have been done to us, he tells us you're a victim and you're always going to be a victim. Amen. That's a lie. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. It's a lie from the devil, because you are in fact the person who God created you to be. When he breathed over you in your mother's womb. Sin is an event, not a person. Sin is an unfortunate occurrence. It's not your identity. Sin is a bad decision or a poor choice. It's not who you are. You are who God says you are. You are not what you've done. Now hear me, I don't want anybody to mistake me. I'm not talking about cheap grace. I'm not talking about just do whatever you want to do and repent and think it's all right. No. God don't let you play that game either. Amen? He sees the heart. He knows the heart. But God loves us unconditionally. I pray that those of you who have been in chains to the past and to your mistakes, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will recognize how God sees you today. Not by what you've done, but by who you are. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all. Everybody say all. All things have become new. Where's the old life? Paul said it's gone. Amen. I love that term. He said old things have passed away. You know what we use, the term we use when somebody dies? We say they passed away. It means they're dead, they're gone, they're never coming back. You know what Paul said about the old life? It's passed away. But yet we keep allowing it to resurrect itself in our lives and in our minds and in our weak moments. Amen. But Paul said those things are gone. Amen. And a new life has begun. And I want to speak, though, to anybody in this room that maybe you don't know Jesus, or maybe you're not serving the Lord. Here's the bad news, is that you are still defined by your sins without the cross. Come on, without the cross of Jesus intervening in your life, amen, because you don't have anything eternal to hope for. We are literally a prisoner of sin, the Bible says. And our sin does define us outside of a relationship with Jesus. But there's some of you here today, you're listening to this message, who you're going to experience the freedom that God wants you to experience in your heart. You don't have to stay where you are anymore. Because I'm going to tell you right now, today God is calling you. He's calling some of you for the first time and calling some of you to come back to him. And understand that your mistakes do not have to define you. They do not have to hold you back. Say it with me. Repeat after me. I am who God says I am. I am not what I've done. I am who God says I am. I am not what I have done. Now say it a third time like you mean it. I am who God says I am. Not what I have done. Now you ought to give him a praise for that right now. Woo! Hallelujah! Because he took those sins and he nailed them to the cross when he died. The Bible says I'm blessed when I come in and I'm blessed when I go out. Amen. The Bible says I'm more than an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. That's who I am. The Bible said I am free because the Son has set me free. That's who I am. Amen. The Bible says that the same Spirit, the same power that raised Christ from the grave lives in me. That's who I am. That's who I am. If you want to be free from the past, remember, number one, your biggest sins are still smaller than God's grace. Number two, you are who God says you are, not what you have done. And then my last point, number three, you can't change your past, but you can change your future. Come on, hallelujah. How many of you like it when people come up to you and they say, I got some good news and I've got some bad news. Which one do you want first? Now, I don't know about y'all. I'm one of those give me the bad news first people, right? Is that y'all? Amen. Just give me the bad news first. Oh, I got somebody. Well, they want the good news. Amen. I like to leave on a high note. Amen. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the bad news first. There might be some painful stuff in your past. Hear me. You can't change it. You can't undo it. It might have even been your fault. You can't change it. It may have been intentional. It might have even been unintentional. Here's the bad news. You can't change it. It might not have even been something you did. It might be something that was done to you. You might have been molested. You might have been sexually assaulted. You might have been part of a very painful divorce. You might have experienced the death of a loved one, and you just can't seem to shake the grief. You can't undo the past. I wish you could. I wish I could, but you can't. Maybe you were not a victim. Maybe you were the perpetrator. Maybe you did wrong. And sometimes I think that's even a heavier load to carry. You did something foolish. You did something reckless. You said something. I hate that, but you can't change the past. Remember I said there's bad news and there's good news. Here's the good news. With the power of the Lord on your side, you can change the future. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. I know you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, but what you can do is look to the future and not just to the past. Amen. You can have freedom from your past. Never forget, every saint of God has a past, and every single sinner can have a brand new future. Every saint of God who loves Jesus, but you've been defeated, guess what? You can still have a brand new future. Because God's working in all things, even the bad things, to bring about good to those who love Him. I love the way Paul said this to the Philippians in Philippians 3, verse 12. He said, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I do press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Amen. Hey, did you notice how he sandwiches those things? He says, I do this one thing, and then he says two things. Do you love that? Because he put the real way to forget the past is to look forward to the future. You've got to have a hope to help you shake the hopelessness. Amen? You've got to understand that you can't go back and undo what happened, but you can create a new future, and you can walk in a new hope, and you can have a new dream. Amen? Because he makes all things new. And then he said in verse 14, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I want the praise team and musicians to come. In other words, Paul said, I'm not perfect, but I press on. I press on to possess what Christ has for me. Paul said, I focus on forgetting the past and I'm looking forward to what lies ahead. Amen. And hear me, folks. It's hard to look forward if you can't forget what's behind you or what you're in right now that you know is difficult or not pleasing to God. I want you to stand with me all over this house. Those words about forgetting the past in the Greek has a couple of definitions. Let me share a couple of them with you. It means to treat something with thoughtless inattention. In other words, I'm intentionally treating it with inattention. I'm making it a point to try to get this out of my mind. If it pops up, I'm intentionally deciding I'm not going to dwell on this thought anymore. Amen? It means forgetting the past means to willfully neglect something. It means to leave behind things intentionally. It means to banish them from your thoughts. It means to disregard on purpose. It means to cease remembering. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And this is where it gets tough. Lord, I want to forget, but it's so hard. Just keep trying to forget and look to the future. You can't change the past, but you can work at forgetting it and putting it under the blood and reminding yourself, I am a new creature in Christ. Come on, see, I'm going to just tell somebody in this room, and nobody's looking around, the devil wants you to play the victim the rest of your life. Because if he can get you to do that, he will sabotage you from your future. And these self-sabotaging thoughts are one of his greatest tools to hold us back. Where instead, every day when we get up, we need to plant our feet on the ground and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Like Paul said, I'm not perfect. I haven't achieved it. I'm not there yet, but I'm just going to keep pressing on. I'm going to keep pressing on. I'm going to keep trying. Every time this flood of terrible thoughts come into my mind, I'm going to push it back. I'm going to pray it back. I'm going to speak it back. I'm going to reject. I'm going to encourage some of you. And this is something I've been using. I don't even know. But it's worked for me. Every time those thoughts come in, sometimes you just need to say it out loud. I reject you, devil, in Jesus' name. Come on. You say, well, it's not the devil. It's stuff I did. Well, if you ask God to forgive you, and he has, and the Bible says that he's already forgotten it, when those thoughts come flooding in, that is the enemy trying to torment you. And you need it as a believer to say, I reject this thought. This is not who I am, and I will not be held hostage. I remember one time, you can open your eyes because I'm just talking again now. I remember one time, and you need to always be open to when people have a little criticism or people have some constructive things to say in your life. You need to be open to that. But I remember one time there was somebody that they just were attacking me verbally, assaulting, and was just saying some hateful things to me that were not true. And I've only done this once or twice in my life. But I remember something just rose up in me. It was the Holy Ghost, and it wasn't Carl, but I'm going to use Carl. And I just looked right at this person, and I said, I wholeheartedly reject that. That is a lie from the devil. I do not receive this. That is not who I am. And you are being used by the enemy right now. I reject it in Jesus' name. Guess what? Their jaw dropped open, but you want to know what happened to me? Those words just deflected right off of my back. They just deflect. Come on. Don't receive the lie of the enemy. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. His report said, I am healed. His report said, I am filled. His report said, I am free. I'm free. I'm free. The song they're getting ready to sing says, gone, gone, my sin is gone. So let's not keep dwelling on it. Let's not keep ruminating in it. Let's not keep wallowing in the guilt quicksand. Let's stand up with our heads held high and our chest sticking out. I am a child of God. I'm not perfect, but I am forgiven. His grace is bigger than anything I've ever done. Amen. His mercies are new every morning. So here's what I want us to do. We're going to open up this altar, and as we do, I want you to come. If the devil's been beating up on you recently or even right now, you might be in the middle of it. Come on, I want you to step right out, and I want you to say, I'm forgetting my past. I'm not going to be held hostage by what I did or by what somebody did to me any longer. I know it's going to be a daily battle. I might need some help. I might need some brothers and sisters to come alongside me. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and we're going to serve Him triumphantly. We're going to serve Him victoriously. Come on, somebody. Are you ready? Come on. Come up and lift your hands and say, God, I'm going to forget my past. I'm going to forget my past. I'm going to forget my past. Come on, that's it. I'm going to forget my past. I lay it at this altar. I lay it at this altar. I am not a victim. I just want you to lay hands on somebody's shoulder or take them by the hand, whatever's appropriate, and we're going to pray for one another right now, okay? Some of you are already doing that. Keep it up. We're going to pray for each other right now because I want you to know you are not alone. That's another one of the devil's lies. I might talk about it next week. You are not alone. You're not fighting this battle by yourself. Let's begin to pray for each other right now in the body. I want you to lift your voice. I want you to pray out loud. Come on. Pray for somebody right next to you. You don't even have to know what they're going through. Just pray for them right now. Hallelujah. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, God. I thank you, God. Come on, that's it, all over this house. Come on, we're praying right now. Prayer changes things. In the name of Jesus, whatever my brother and sister is going through, Lord, I lift them up right now. I pray, God, for you to set them free. I pray for you to heal them, Lord. I pray for you to touch their mind, oh God. I pray for you to give them hope, God, and not fear. Hope for a bright future, Lord. Yes, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hey, thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.